So, a few weeks ago, I had the privilege to spend some time at a wedding reception. And at this wedding reception, I had this very interesting experience that I want to share with you. I got to sit down at a table of some of the family and friends of the bride and the groom, lots of young adults that were more or less kind of my age or a little bit older than I. And we sat down and started to talk, and Father Chaz was with me. The both of us went, and there was this young gal that was sitting a little bit to my right, and we started to strike up a conversation. And she began to tell me about you know, who she was and what she was doing with her life, and it turns out that she was in some secondary education. She was taking some college classes, and it became very fascinating because she started to speak about this assignment that she had just finished, that she had presented on literally the week before this. And it was an assignment that she and a small group of her classmates were supposed to research and present about the structure of the Catholic Church. This was evidently a class about structure of organizations. And so there was a lot of small groups that were given the task of looking up and researching one very large organization or this one or that one and kind of presenting like this is how it is. So it became very curious because it wandered into this conversation about things of faith and religion. And as she continued to speak, she had mentioned the fact how she never really grew up in a religious home. And she wasn't Catholic, and I stopped her and I said, have you ever met a Catholic priest in your whole life? And she said, no, not at all. And I was thinking to myself, oh, this is good. Now you're going to find out how crazy we really are. So she kept speaking, and she was so fascinated by this fact that we had kind of, we more or less kind of invited ourselves onto this table. We said, is anyone sitting here? Can we sit? Ah, thanks. Thanks for letting us sit down. And here we are having this conversation with this gal who grew up not religious, was not Catholic, didn't know anything about the Catholic Church, had this assignment in her college class to research the Catholic Church and the structure and how it was built and how it's organized. And now all of a sudden she's sitting down at this table with two Catholic priests that just show up out of nowhere. And she said, man, I really could have used you guys last week. And it was a phenomenal conversation because I got to see what her perceptions are of the church. And we said, well, what did you learn? I mean, what do you think about all of this Catholic stuff anyways? And she said it was really fascinating. She said, one thing that I learned is that when you look up this stuff on the internet, there is a lot of information out there. And she said, frankly, it was really hard to figure out what information was true and what information was false. And I said, amen to that. Ain't that the internet? A lot of sifting through. And she said, you know, to be honest, I have to tell you that I wasn't really enamored. You know, I don't know that I really felt very great about the Catholic Church, and I just never really knew anything about it. All I ever knew was maybe what I had been told growing up and what I was trying to learn here in this class. And I said, well, have you ever been in a Catholic church? And she said, no. And I said, well, why not? And she said, well, I'm not Catholic. She said, I don't even think that I'm allowed to go in a Catholic church, am I? She said, I thought that if you weren't Catholic, like, you weren't even allowed to go in there. And in my mind, I'm just flabbergasted. I'm like, where did you learn that? But thankfully, I had my wits about me, and I said, well, that's because anybody who's not Catholic who walks into a Catholic church is immediately struck down by lightning. So I said, you have a really good intuition to not go into a Catholic church. And no, and I said, you know, you should really feel free just to come in and look inside sometime. And I'd be happy to give you a tour and let you talk to you about the stained glass and about everything that you see in a church. I said, we have a really beautiful church. And at the end of that conversation, this gal said something really interesting, and she said, "You know, I didn't know that priests could be like that." And I think that was a compliment. It seemed like it was a compliment. She seemed in some ways to kind of be edified by her encounter with some random dude who was wearing black and a white collar. And I think that's a really pertinent story for, as a personal experience, just to share with us today. Because it really speaks about what's going on this Sunday, Gaudete Sunday. We have these two weird Sundays throughout the year, Gaudete Sunday and Laetare Sunday, one in Advent and one in Lent, where we, you know, instead of having rose, or instead of having violet, we have rose. We're in the middle of this penitential season, and the church all of a sudden says, rejoice. And that word, Gaudete, it's an imperative, it's a command, rejoice. And in the midst of this Sunday where we are told, we're commanded by the church, where we are commanded by God that we are to be people who rejoice, we hear that in the context of this afternoon's gospel, where we hear about John the Baptist. So important for us to hear that gospel today. Because John the Baptist speaks a lot about his life, is a lot about what it means to rejoice. What is the vocation of John the Baptist? Why do we hear about him in the Gospels? You see, John the Baptist, his vocation was to be the prophet. He was the prophet. And what is the prophet? Well, the prophet is not the one that tries to predict the future. You know, that's why we have Las Vegas, right? And all of the betting and all of the odds. And we have people who know how to tell us all of those things. That's not what a prophet does. A prophet doesn't predict the future in the biblical sense of that word. The prophet is the one who speaks about the signs of the times, the one who reveals what is before us. And isn't it interesting what he says to the Pharisees? He says, "I baptize with water, but there is one among you whom you do not recognize." The gospel says that John the Baptist was not the light, but he was the one who bared the light into the world, so that the world might come to believe. And I'll tell you this much, if there is any disciple of Jesus, if there is any saint in heaven who is perhaps a saint for the 21st century, I think it's John the Baptist. Because we live in the very times that he lived in 21 centuries later. John the Baptist lived in a time where people needed, in a brand new way, to encounter the one who actually had the answers to life's questions. And that is the world that you and I live and breathe and walk in. We live in, like, a post-Christian world. We live and move and work in a world where people don't even ask the question of faith anymore. You probably are all aware of this very striking statistic, that the fastest growing religion in the whole world is the religion of I don't care. That's the fastest growing religion in the world. Fastest growing religion in the world is the religion of people who are completely religiously unaffiliated. It's not even the people that are anti-religious, who are like militantly atheistic, who have a grudge against God and against faith. No, it's the religion of people who don't even ask the question of faith, who think that religion is now like passé. It's like this thing in the past that we simply don't need anymore because we have all these gadgets now, and that's what makes life worth it. You see, people of faith, Christians, are starting to become crazy. We walk into a society where people are starting to say, you know, not only are you weird, but I don't even think that you're welcome anymore. Your viewpoints, you can kind of hold those, but don't let those be public because I don't agree with them and they don't belong here. That's the world that we have. And so we, on this Sunday, are commanded to simply observe who John the Baptist is and what his life means for our vocation. And frankly, our vocation as Christian brothers and sisters to be John the Baptist today. Because you and I walk in a world that requires us to bear a light to brokenness and suffering that needs it. And you and I walk into people's lives who not only are not religious, but whose parents were not religious, and whose grandparents were the ones that originally bucked the faith and said, that's not going to be my life. So they raised their children in a home that wasn't religious, and now those moms and dads are grown up, people my age, and they're raising children whose grandparents don't even know God, much less their parents. You and I walk into people's lives. We sit down at table with people who not only are not religious, but have never met a Catholic, who've never seen a Catholic priest in their life, and have all these kind of weird conceptions, like they're not even allowed to walk in the building, lest they get struck by lightning. This isn't a fairy tale. This is real stuff. And the most compelling thing that you and I offer to the world, when we offer the light of Jesus, is the very word of this Sunday, Gaudete, rejoicing, true, authentic, supernatural Christian joy. Christian joy in the heart of a human soul is more compelling than any argument that you could ever surmise to convince somebody that what we believe is real. Because when someone encounters you and when someone encounters me and they see something in us that they've never seen before, they say weird things like, you know, I didn't know that priest could be like that. Because they see something that the human heart was meant to hold on to, was meant to grab, that they simply have never experienced personally. And when they come into that encounter, they're not encountering you and me. They're encountering Jesus, who is what they long for. And that, my friends, is your vocation and my vocation. We are called to be John the Baptist in a world full of suffering and full of darkness. And that is what makes Christian joy so compelling, is that we can be joyful even in the midst of suffering, which is inconceivable to the world. Those things are incompatible. If you're sad, you can't be happy at the same time. You just can't do it. But we're Christians, and we can. And because we can, because we believe in a God who is provident over all things, who makes all things just, who knows how to make right all that is wrong, we believe in that promise that he speaks into our hearts. And because of that, we can look suffering square in the face and say, you do not chain me. I can still rejoice in my Savior, no matter what I'm going through. And then people look at us and they say, you're so different. And we look at them and we say, wow, what do you see in me? Because oftentimes, right, we see our brokenness and we just wonder how people could think that we're so calm or we're so joyful or we're so at peace, because we know what pain they feel, because we feel pain too, because we go through suffering too. But when we have that in us, when we walk this earth as John the Baptist walked the earth, there is nothing that chains us, because nothing can separate us from the love of Jesus except our choice. And so you and I today on Gaudete Sunday, when the church says, rejoice, I tell you, because your Savior is here, the answer to your human longings, he will come to make all things right, and he invites you into that encounter with him. We do that here. We have that vocation, and that enables us on this day and even in all of our strife to say, praise the Lord Jesus Christ.